Welcome to Our View Podcast, where we talk about life, travel, and real estate. Join George and Lisa Hernandez each week as they share insights and parenting tips about their life as a blended family with four teens, their crazy travel and adventures, and get Lisa's pro input about real estate as she juggles it all while still managing her top-producing real estate brokerage, View Properties.
Hi, it's Lisa Richard Hernandez.
And George Hernandez.
And we have a great interview today. We're testing out all of our new equipment. Super excited. We did an interview with one of my favorite mortgage people, Jim Duffy, and he is with Atlantic Coast Mortgage. And he's going to talk about what's going on with the rates and what's going on with FHA loans. And so we got a bunch of good information from him. We're excited to share it with you today. And George was here to mediate.
I'm here to keep them from getting too technical. I'm here to dumb it down.
Oh, you don't give yourself enough credit, babe. You understand the mortgage industry more.
No, I do, but it's like any business. If me being an ex-police officer, if I start sitting with my cop buddies and we start getting at it, all of a sudden everybody's looking like, what codes are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? What does that mean? So I understand, and I want to be here for the Average Joe.
Average Joe. Okay. Well, that'll be your new nickname, Average Joe. Nah.
Well, Tiger King's already taken.
All right. Well, let's get into it and go into listening to what Jim Duffy had to tell us all about the mortgage industry and how COVID-19 is affecting all of us. So, hey, Jim, just tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your history in the mortgage business and just a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you better.
Sure, I'll be happy to. So I've been in the mortgage business for a long time now, for about 18 years, since 2001, late 2001, I got in the business. And it was a great business until it wasn't in 2007 and 8, but we made it through. And, you know, I say that because we're going into, I think we're in a recession at this point. And so it's something that we've been through before and we know how to get through. So it's kind of a fun time. But I have a big team with Atlantic Coast Mortgage. We're doing a really high volume right now. We've got, I just looked at my numbers. We did 25 million in originations in the last 60 days, or at least in loan applications, right? Not all of them qualified just yet, but there's a lot of loan applications coming in. So that's great.
Wow. That's amazing. That's, is that a normal thing for you, or is that due to
it's
the...
not.
Okay.
Not at all. Part of it's the marketing. Part of it's realtor partners like yourself, Lisa, who are just awesome and out there working and doing what you do and helping people in the homes. And a lot of it is just, well, I have to tell a secret on myself right now. Some of it's just past client marketing. I haven't really reached out to my past clients ever until about 6 or 8 months ago, and I've been doing that regularly, and that's a game changer as well. Something I probably should have done in the last 18 years.
You know, that's awesome. It's funny because that's one of the things that I've been telling my agents and myself also. Now is such a great time to reach out to all of our past clients, and I've had so many people call me that I haven't heard from. And I would say if one of the benefits, I guess, if there are any silver linings to all of this quarantining, is just the opportunity to just people are calling and saying, hey, how are you doing? And reconnecting on the phone and kind of slowing things down. So it's been really good. And I'm sure that was a lot
it's
of that
terrific time for
you was kind of before this started, but good to definitely stay in touch.
It has, but it has stepped up now. I think there's a want and a need for a personal connection. You know, people are worried. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about their health. And so there's a real need for a personal connection, and I think that's important for all of us. We all need it.
So, Jim, I think probably one of the biggest questions and that our listeners will have, and it's a question that I get all the time, is what's going on with mortgage rates right now?
That's a question even I had, Lisa, to tell you the truth, because I'm like, wait a minute. So here's a very quick backstory. Mortgage rates are determined by the bond market, specifically mortgage-backed securities. And they're at the best rate ever. So So mortgage rates should be at their best rates ever, at their lowest rates ever, right? But they're not. And there's a few reasons for that. It's because things got so good so quickly, lenders couldn't keep up. And what happened was servicers had a lot of runoff. So servicers make money on servicing a loan, right? Receiving our payments and processing our mortgage payments collectively after about 3 years of having that loan on the books. Well, so many were falling off the books before 3 years, they were losing money. And rates were going so low so quickly that also lenders on the origination side were having margin calls by the broker dealers, right? We lend money, but it's not really our money. We have like a one big credit card, if you will. And we lend, we get the money, we sell the loan to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or whoever, and we get the money back and we lend it to the next person, right? And that big credit card is basically provided by a broker dealer, and they were having margin calls. So we were losing money from servicers, we were having margin calls. And the third thing is, so lenders were losing tens of millions of dollars collectively by these margin calls. And the third thing is, on government loans, FHA loans specifically, bond investors were balking at it, saying if a lot of people are losing their jobs and the default rates are highest on FHA loans than any other loan, and VA is very similar, then we don't really want to buy those right now because it's too risky, right? And so that's what they were saying. Okay. And so the trifecta meant rates couldn't go lower because mortgage lenders couldn't afford for rates to go lower because they were losing so much money. Which is weird, when rates are low, you'd think we'd be making money, but as a collective, we were all losing money. So that's where I think that's working itself out now, is the good news. And I think we will see all-time lows, like rates, you know, 30-year fixed rate with no points around 3%, maybe even high twos, something like that.
Wow.
But it won't be for I don't know exactly when, 10 days, a couple weeks at best, but I think we will get there.
Well, that's good news. George, I have George as my barometer of people that are not in the industry when I start talking about things that make absolutely no sense to him. Did that make sense to you, George?
Yes, I'm going to throw in the red flag anytime that you guys start.
Okay.
Because it happens. I'm kind of here to listen in. And then when you guys get a little too technical, I'm going to throw in the flag and say, hey, can you guys slow down and kind of explain it to us, the common folk that are not in the industry?
I have a tendency to do that to George, and he'll be like, well, probably the reason people don't understand you is because I don't understand a word you just said.
And I'm like, I have no idea what you just said.
I look at him like, yeah, can you believe that? Shouldn't they understand? And George is like, no, Lisa.
This one is technical. I'll give you that. I think the better way to put it then would be just to say, because rates got so low so quickly, lenders were actually losing money and therefore had to put the brakes on a little bit, and now we're catching up to it.
Yeah, even myself, and I've been, you know, a real estate agent for, oh God, 15 years also, and I went through the crash last time too. So I'm, you know, prepared for that as much as I can be because I do, you know, REO foreclosures and bank-owned homes and short sales were my specialty back then. So even for me, I mean, I've always understand how servicers, you know, always at the closing table, you'll say to people, oh, this is who's, you know, closing your loan, but in 3 months, you're going to get new stubs that right. are going to be paid to somebody else. And that person is a servicer. And that's, I think, where like maybe people that aren't in the industry understand what a servicer is and how they make their money and how the whole industry works overall. Because, you know, they'll say, oh, we've dropped the interest rates 1 point. And people think, oh, gosh, you know, last week they were at 3.6%. Now that means I can get it at 2.6%. And
right,
that isn't
exactly.
really exactly how it works. And so trying to understand that for people that aren't in the industry is even probably more challenging than it was for even myself to read through it all and completely understand how mortgages are packaged and sold in the financial industry.
Yeah, and this one goes, I agree, this one goes way into the weeds as well as far as the inner workings of the mortgage business, which most people never see or care about, but it is affecting things now.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's funny because that's also back in 2008 when the market crashed, all of a sudden everybody started reading their mortgages. the actual papers that you sign at closing. Like, they're like, oh, I never read this before. They can actually rekey your house and come and take it. The bank still owns
right,
it.
Right, exactly. That's part of it.
Yeah, very, very, very.
And everyone became a mortgage expert. And then we forgot because the market got so good for so long.
Yeah.
We just kind of went, well, yeah, that's just a normal mortgage.
Right. So you
That's the thing with this forbearance thing, too. You know, everyone's saying, well, the government will allow people affected by this coronavirus to stop making the payments for 3 or 6 months or however long it is.
Right.
And I've talked to a couple of people who are ecstatic about it, like no mortgage payment, but it's, you got to read the fine print on that one because
yeah.
it can really get you in trouble quick.
Yeah. You know, let me actually address that a little bit because I'll tell you about my experience with that in 2008 and how so many people got into trouble that they couldn't get out of. And the number one thing that I recommend to people is reach out to your lender. This is not an automated thing. They don't just go, oh, you don't have to pay for 3 months. I'm going to just not send in my payment. You have to let them know your credit cards, your car payments, whatever. As a matter of fact, I bank with Bank of America and BB&T, and on Bank of America, they have an app I noticed on my app on my phone yesterday, as a matter of fact, that they said if you need help with your car payments, your mortgage payments, or whatever, you know, they have forms and stuff for you to fill out and get that taken care of.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize I had that
readily
available.
Yeah. So if you don't do those things, that does not mean that you're going to just be forgiven for your mortgages. And you know, a lot of people in 2008, the problem that they don't understand is, so you go 90 days without paying your mortgage and you do nothing about it. Well, now you're in default. And once you're in default, they're not going to take a partial payment from you. So what had happened is people said, well, I want to do a short sale. And they say I need to be 90 days late on my mortgage to do it. So they would not pay their mortgage for 3 months. And then they'd spend that money. And then say the short sale didn't work out, which might have taken another six to eight months to negotiate. And now they're that far behind. And if they change their mind or their situation changed, they couldn't go back and make those. They couldn't say, well, here, you know I owe you $10,000. Here's five now and I'll pay you five in 2 months. Unless you send in the whole entire payment. So, and the other thing that people didn't realize, which you probably see this also, when they did the loan modifications and they did those, all they're doing is adding it onto the back of the loan. So,
exactly.
You know, they basically
they
were charging you all the fees and everything and putting it on the back. So I'm starting to see even before the market, before this coronavirus kind of crashed our market, before that, I started even seeing people that had been through the loan modifications that were back again in default. And I was like, yeah, when you did the loan modification, you basically increased what your, you know, value of what you owed on the house was from.
Yeah. And you're underwater even further. It's kind of like, I liken it a little bit to, you know, when you go to a furniture store and they say, well, it's 90 days, same as cash. We'll just finance it. No payments for 90 days. And that's wonderful, and it's great, until 90 days is over, and then you owe it all plus interest, right? And so it's very similar with the forbearance. Most of the forbearance agreements, you know, say you don't have to make your payment for 3 months, but on month four, you owe immediately 4 months' worth of payments. And so if you can't do that, I'd caution people to steer clear of forbearance if they can. I mean, some people are... That's
yeah.
the only option. And
I honestly don't know because I haven't attempted to try to do any of these programs. I'd really be interested to talk to some people that have gone through the paperwork for it just to see what the fine print is about that. But definitely, I guess the biggest advice that I could give anybody in the situation where they can't make one of those payments is to reach out to the lender. And I told everyone, you know, write down who you talk to, when you talk to them, and keep a record of everything that you have. And if you have the money to pay your mortgage, then pay it, you know?
Oh, that's so true. Quick story about that. I've got a good friend and past client who, in one of the most recent hurricanes that came through, he had some damage to the house. And lenders were saying, well, you can not make a mortgage payment for 3 months because of the hurricane damage. And he took advantage and said, oh, great, that's a help because I need to fix the house. And it was wonderful until he called and said, okay, 3 months is over. Let me start making payments. Well, they documented it as he was 90 days late, now in default. It took a lot of phone calls, a lot of time on the phone to correct that. And then they did a loan modification and tacked on all the fees for the default onto the back of the loan, just like you were saying. So
yeah.
It's not.
I'm hoping in this situation they're not going to do that, but that's why it's so important to make sure that you're, you know, documented on whatever program, whatever your financial institution is offering. You know?
Can I ask a quick question? I'm going to ask both of you. Do you both foresee a serious problem in a couple months? Because me, the average Joe, when I hear loan forgiveness, it's loan forgiveness. So there's going to be so many people out there that just think, like you both just said, oh, I don't have to pay my loan for 3 months. And then all of a sudden, we're going to have hundreds and thousands of people who are going to be screwed in their loans because, like you just said, 3 months from now, they're going to say, awesome, now you owe us 4 months of payments. I guarantee you a lot of these people are not accounting for that, don't understand. So are there going to be a ton of loans that are going to be under default?
I believe so. I think there will be because, and the sad part is, really, in 2007 and 8, during the housing crisis, we could do 100% financing. We could cash out the 97%. A lot of people didn't have a lot of equity in their house. That's not the case now. So if people get in trouble now and really have struggled to catch up and start making the payments again, they're potentially losing a lot of equity. Almost everyone has equity in their house right now. And that's net worth. That's wealth. And it's potentially going to be lost for a lot of people. And that's the sad part on this one. And why I would caution people not to do the forbearance. If they can handle that, if they can make the payments, then please do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it might be different for each individual lender. So I think they really just need to like reach out to whoever is giving them whatever loan. So tell me about a lot of people. So here's what I've been hearing, and it makes everyone nervous when we hear this, especially real estate agents. Well, I mean, I've heard rumors like you can't get a loan anymore. There's not going to be any more FHA loans for a while. You've got to have a better credit score.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about FHA loans for people that don't know are when the, well, I guess you could probably explain that better than me, Jim. Why don't you give a, what we're
sure,
talking about when we say
so,
FHA.
Yeah, FHA is a government loan, right? It's considered a first-time buyer loan. It's not restricted to first-time buyers. It's a very simple loan. And FHA started this whole process, right? HUD was started in 1932 and started this whole thing of you don't just go to your bank and get a loan like, you know, in the It's a Wonderful Life, right? The Bailey savings and loan thing. They started the whole thing of collectively securitizing loans and making it easier for people to buy a home with a much lower down payment. But what happened is in 2007, you remember the subprime lenders started falling just almost daily. We heard about this lender's out of business, that lender's out of business. And everything went to FHA, right? FHA kind of became the new subprime because it's lower credit scores, lower down payment. You can get the down payment from anywhere.
That's what I was going to say. Explain what subprime is for the layman's terms. I can see George's eyes glazing over right now. What's subprime?
Sorry, George. So subprime was a wave of lending that came about in probably the mid, 2002 or so. It really took hold and grew, and it was non-government-backed lending. So it wasn't, these loans weren't sold and collateralized by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae. They were just collateralized by individual companies and sold on bond market, right? And so really they made up their own rules. And some of those rules were just way too lenient. Like, you don't need a job. We don't need to verify income. We don't need to verify assets, et cetera. So it became way too loose. And therefore, a lot of people bought homes that really probably shouldn't have. They didn't quite qualify. And as soon as bond investors really started realizing this stuff is not high grade loans, they just started dumping them, and then companies started folding. But that was separate companies. It wasn't the systemic lending that we have now, the FHA loans that are really the backbone of first-time buyers, I think. So that was the subprime thing. And again, the problem now is FHA has become kind of the new subprime. And so that has the highest default rates. That has the lowest cost to entry, et cetera.
That's because people are only putting, say, for example, 3.5% down on an FHA loan. So the risk for the lender is more because there's not a lot of wiggle room in there as compared to a conventional loan where if someone put 20% down and, say, the market depreciates 10%, the person who's holding the loan is still in a good position. Whereas if the market goes down 3%, which is possible, now the lenders, if the person defaults on the loan, is in an upside-down position. Does that make...
That's exactly right. And, you know, conventional loans, they really only require a 3% down, but here's the big difference. They also, with 3% down conventional, you need a higher credit score. And so those with higher credit scores typically aren't going to default. They typically might have more savings than someone with a, you know, someone with a 740 credit score is less likely to default specifically than someone with a 580 credit score who got into an FHA loan. And that's the problem that we're seeing right now. Investors don't want to buy that lower tiered credit loan packages.
So can people still get FHA loans right now?
Kind of, but there's no pricing right now that doesn't carry with it discount points to get that rate. Even with, I priced one out yesterday with a VA loan yesterday with a 760 credit score, and it cost 1.75 points to get any rate at all. And that will fix itself, I think. What has to happen there for it to fix? Well, one of two things will happen with FHA. I guess that's the best way to put it. FHA will either go away and it will collapse and we will have no more FHA loans ever, which I don't think is very likely. I think what's more likely is the government has to bail out loan servicers and guarantee payments to bond investors. And if that happens, FHA will come back and it'll be not just like it was. I don't think we'll ever go to 580 credit again. I think it'll be like 620-ish minimum credit scores when it does come back.
I gotcha. So there again kind of goes back to make sure that your credit score is going to be more important than ever in the upcoming years. And I don't think people always necessarily realize that, especially when they go through a crisis. Seems to be like the last thing on their mind, but
sure.
I used to always tell people, you know, if you go through this short sale, the difference between 3 years on your credit or 7 years on your credit. And
that's,
you know,
a great way to put it. And it's true.
And 3 years ago, you'd never thought you were going to be in the position that you're in now. And 7 years ago, you certainly did not. So imagine how quickly 3 years goes by as compared to seven. And to just be proactive about everything that you do as far as keeping your credit score as good as possible and reaching out to those lenders at this time to make sure that you just don't get a ding on your credit for no reason.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And it's highly likely that we'll see some, you know, this whole forbearance thing, you don't have to make 3 months payments if you were affected by coronavirus. I think that's going to affect some people's credit in more than they think it will going into it, right? You think it's a free 3 months, but I suspect it's going to affect people's credit because if it's a, I just forgot the term, restructuring the loan. Then oftentimes that shows up on the credit report and does affect the credit negatively.
That'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And what I found in the past was most of the people that got in that position were, again, the ones that kind of buried their head in the sand instead of trying to get out ahead of it. So,
instead of asking the questions and talking it through. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got like $1 million property under contract right now. And I'm really nervous because I heard that, you know, jumbo loans and portfolio loans are also difficult to get. So just so people know, a jumbo loan is what, anything over 450?
Yeah, actually it's gone up. It's 510, 400. So anything under $510,400 is conforming. Anything above that is jumbo.
Okay, so a jumbo loan generally has a little bit higher interest rates, more qualifications, right?
It does, yeah. And it's getting tighter as well because those loans, again, are not collateralized by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the government entities. They're collateralized by hedge funds, and you and I are investing in our 401k stuff, right? That's who collateralizes those loans. And so, yeah, it's getting tighter. I've had a few investors pull out and not do jumbo loans anymore. Others are still offering them at a pretty good rate, but they've restricted a little bit. You know, it's always 20% down. It used to be 10% down. You get a jumbo loan. Now it's 20%. They're just getting a little bit more restrictive.
Gotcha.
As they probably should in this credit environment. You know, that's understandable. But portfolio loans have gone away. So, like those loans were, they don't quite fit the box. You know, it's a self-employed buyer. They write off a lot on their taxes. So we do 12 months bank statements and all the deposits equal income and we don't get tax returns and we do the loan form. There's a place for those loans, but there's not a place now because they all shut their doors. So there are no portfolio loans at the moment.
I'm very happy that I refinanced when I did.
I bet. That's
yes. Yes, yes. All those self-employed people, you know. It's difficult for us anytime to get a loan, but I'm glad I got locked in before that.
We do understand that because we live it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, anything else you want to touch on? Any information you want to share with our listeners that is critical? Tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So it's Atlantic Coast Mortgage. It's just atlanticcoastmortgage.com/Jim Duffy. Or just Google my name. Or my blog is financeonthefrontline.com.
Yeah,
I'll send you a link to that.
Yep, and we'll put all of that in our show notes for our listeners.
Perfect.
So and you spell Jim's last name, Jim Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y. And again, it's atlanticcoastmortgage.com.
Yes.
So
So here's a thought for you. And I would actually love to get your take on this because I've had a lot of people who are in the market to buy right now express that they're a little bit nervous and wondering, should I buy, should I not buy, what's going on? And my take is this: if you're going to be in the home for 3 to 5 years, yeah, I would absolutely buy right now. And the reason is rates are at all-time lows, or they're so close to all-time lows that it's great to take advantage. But I think what we'll see is the economy will worsen a little bit more. We'll probably see home prices dip, right? And so everyone's like, well, why shouldn't I wait till they go lower? Because as soon as we see that, we'll also see rates go up. And if you can lock in something at or around 3% on a 30-year fixed rate, my goodness, 3 years from now, when home prices are really going gangbusters, you're going to be very happy that you locked in that rate, made it through the dip, and then see equity start to grow very rapidly again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. That's great advice, Jim. As a matter of fact, I was looking at, I get an email from our weekly stats guy, and 54 homes went under contract yesterday. So people are still buying and selling houses out there. We did hear from the local Board of Realtors, by the way, National Association of Realtors, and the local MLS has done a great job in getting real estate agent services as, what do they call it, required or necessary business things. So we're still having
right,
closings.
Exactly.
We're still doing title searches, thankfully.
Essential business.
Yeah, so that's great. CTAR, our local Charleston Trident Association of Realtors, they reduced our fees by 50%, which was it was really great. We got that bill last week and I was like, oh crap, when I opened it up thinking there's another bill I'm gonna have to pay, and was happy to find that
only half.
Yeah, for the whole office though. I mean, you know, it was saved me, you know, 50% is a lot.
That's a lot.
Better than nothing.
I'm happy to see him stepping up and helping, because you guys are in the front lines. I mean, my whole company practically is working from home right now. And we're making it work, and we're getting loans done and closed on time and all that. But we're working from home. You're not. And so hats off to you and all your colleagues, because you're out there really making the economy work, because it's one of the few things. Food and beverage, I feel for them, but there's not much we can do other than, you know, get some takeout so often, but you are in a position where you can really make the economy work and keep moving forward. And hats off to you for all that you do.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. They are making it a little bit more difficult for us to show homes. But, you know, View Properties, when I started out this business, we started with a whole virtual showing assistant thing and everything technologically forward thinking. And thank goodness I already had a lot of visual tours already online and stuff like that for my listing so people can safely go online and get a very good idea of whether or not they like the house without actually going out of their home.
It was funny when this first thing, when this first started, the quarantine and all that stuff, I thought of you almost immediately. I was like, you were ahead of your time, but it's perfect timing right now because that's what everyone wants to do, is a virtual tour.
Yeah, exactly. So for the agents that don't have visual tours on their listings, we will have like a buyer's agent go out and take a personalized video tour of the home for our buyers and upload it to them on a private YouTube link so they can really get a feel for the floor plan and the size of the closets and things that we don't see every day on listings. You know, as a listing agent, our job is to make the house look as good as possible. So we may not show the picture of, you know, the neighbor's junkyard next door or things like that, you know, so you get to the house and you're like, oh no, this wasn't what I wanted. So we want to take as much risk out of that as possible right now. So
that's great. Yeah. See, that's the way to do it.
We just send one agent out with their hand sanitizers and wipes, and they go take their video, and they send it back to you while you take a break from your Netflix Tiger King or whatever crazy thing.
King, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. What's up with that Tiger King? Have you watched that yet?
Let the Tiger King rest for a while and take a look at the home that you could be buying right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So please, please, we'd love to go show some more properties. It's also, you know, it's been kind of interesting to be quarantined, and my agents have really like embraced it. Keely, one of my buyer's agents, I love, she does Keely's Quarn Tips every morning on Facebook.
I've been watching that. Yeah.
Yeah. And
she
does
a great job with that.
I look forward to hearing what she has to say each day. So, you know, they're doing all the continuing ed because see in June, a bunch of like 50% of all the real estate agents, they have us kind of like on an alternating schedule of when our licenses expire. So June of 2020, a bunch of people's licensings were expired. So, I mean, when would we ever have such a great break to get all of our continuing education done at the last minute?
That's true.
I'm thinking maybe I'll get some more.
You can't really go out. So.
It's right. I was like, yeah, it's a good time to get some more letters behind my name. Let me see what kind of accreditations I can get.
What else can I add? Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And you guys have... I know you and George travel so much and go to so many shows. You're probably very happy that you took advantage while you could and had some experiences. And I'm sure people will be doing the same once this all opens up.
Yeah, you know.
We'll all be out of our house.
This has definitely been and I've told my children this, such a good reminder of why not to procrastinate about things. Why not to put things off to the last minute. And, you know, like, for example, my my 15-year-old daughter has her driver's permit, and she could have gotten taken her test so she could be driving on her own right now, which she would love to be able to go randomly to her, you know, dad's in my house and friend's house or whatever during this time.
Yeah, to a friend's house.
And she kept putting it off. Well, guess what? She can't. We'll be lucky if she gets it by the time she's 16 now in May, because there's no driver's test, everything, you know, so just little things like that. And, you know, saying, hey,
my oldest daughter is, you know, she is a ballet dancer and she wants to dance professionally for a company. And she was kind of hemming and hawing a little bit about going to a couple of these auditions for companies, but she did. And now it's like, well, all the auditions quit. So I'm so glad I didn't. She has an offer. But she probably wouldn't have had she
waited,
like you say, procrastinated and been like, well, maybe I'll wait for the next one or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yep. So good learning lesson there. That's great to hear that she's got some auditions. I hope she's not in New York.
No, she didn't want to go to New York. She didn't really audition there. No, Oklahoma City Ballet.
Really?
Apparently there is a ballet in Oklahoma City and that's where she's headed. So.
Oh, I think that's where the Tiger King is from. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay, she's not going there. Done.
Watch out. Watch down. Out. Yeah.
Oh, he's in prison, so we don't have to worry about him.
We don't have to worry about him specifically. I've just been cracking up with all the crazy stuff that, you know, people come up with during this time when there's nothing to do. I thought people had bad memes when there was stuff to do.
It's good,
yeah,
and it's
exactly.
bad.
It's kind of fun watching the memes go around.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jim, I really appreciate your time this morning and your expertise. And again, if people want to give you a call, email you, reach out to you, tell us again what the best way to reach you is.
Yeah, AtlanticCoastMortgage.com. Search Jim Duffy. I'm right on there. And that's probably the easiest, or the blog, financeontheFrontline.com. And yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting about the market. It's an odd market right now, but really, the odd markets are the time to jump in. You know, it's what's Warren Buffett say, when there's fear in the streets, that's the time to jump in. And it's kind of that way a little bit. So if you have the means and capacity and a job that's secure, man, I would encourage people to look to buy now if they're ever thinking about it and give you a call.
Awesome. That's such great advice, Jim. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your input today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. See you soon. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Our View Podcast. If you would like to hear more, don't forget to hit that subscribe and follow button and share this with your family and friends. You can send a direct message. Just visit www.rviewpodcast.com or follow us on Instagram @rviewpodcast. That's the letter R, View Podcast.